I have the pleasure of introducing our speaker for today, Josh Williams. Josh is the Talent Pipeline Project Manager at the Kentucky Chamber Workforce Center, and he's a leader of Kentucky's Talent Pipeline Management Initiative, one of only three statewide TPM projects across the country. Prior to the Workforce Center, Josh spent the last 4+ years aligning education and workforce needs in the greater Louisville region as the Director of Workforce Readiness with the Louisville Society for Human Resource Management and as Director of Career Services at the Sullivan University System. Welcome, Josh Williams.
So my name is Josh Williams. As she mentioned, I'm the Talent Pipeline Project Manager for the Kentucky Chamber Workforce Center, and we are getting on the tail end of a 30-city tour. We're going to talk a little bit about the Kentucky Chamber Workforce Center, address some of the data that we're seeing on the statewide perspective here. You know, right now we're facing a lot of things. The Kentucky Chamber of Commerce, even back in the Great Recession, even as recent as 2015, we started hearing from our employers and our members across the state that workforce was becoming an issue. Either they couldn't find the candidates that they needed for positions, or the candidates that they had available weren't necessarily having the right skill set that they needed to fill those positions. And I don't think I'm exaggerating whenever I say that it's quickly becoming one of the most pressing challenges for our business community across the state. In 2017, January of 2017, the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce decided, you know, we've got to quit just talking about this and drive action. So we launched the Kentucky Chamber Workforce Center and opened its doors on January of 2017. It was the very first state chamber-operated workforce center in the entire country. It was the only one until, I think, Minnesota a couple weeks or months ago opened up one as well. So now there's two of them. But branded the scene, and what we're doing is we're serving as a business resource for educational workforce initiatives. And really what that means is supporting a lot of the great work that local communities are doing and adding that extra resource from that statewide perspective. So a couple things that we're seeing currently right now. A lot of folks right now say, well, a lot of the reason we're having trouble with our workforce is because our unemployment rate is relatively low, speaking on a state perspective, in many parts of the state of Kentucky. And that's absolutely true. But at the same time, we can't just blame that number. If you look and dig a little bit deeper, we commissioned a research project back in 2017 looking at workforce participation. And the fact of the matter is that Kentucky's workforce participation rate isn't doing too great. Right. In fact, in order for us to be an average state, we would need to add 165,000 people to work tomorrow that currently aren't working. And that's just to hit an average. Right. So we're 40th in the nation in terms of workforce participation. I will say this was published initially in 2017. And when it was first published, it was 47th in the state or in the country. So we're definitely trending in the right direction with regards to workforce participation. But something that we definitely need to address whenever we're starting to talk about this as a driver for some of the issues that we're facing. And there's a couple of reasons for that, right? We can look at that right now. Kentucky's disability rate's almost twice the national average. We incarcerate a good number of our citizens, more than other states do on average. And last and certainly not least, but we have the third highest opioid overdose rate in the country. And these are all factors that are playing into that workforce participation rate. So just a couple of things to keep in mind, and that's definitely an element that we need to take into consideration. And the really good news is that whenever they published this report, they polled over 1,000 HR leaders across the state of Kentucky, figuring out what they're seeing in their businesses, what they're seeing in their economic community. It's really good news is that 81% of these employers are expecting moderate to high growth in the next 3 to 5 years, which is an excellent statistic. That means business is booming, companies are growing, which is excellent. On the same token, though, 84% of those businesses can't find the people that they need today, which is quite a sobering statistic when you think if we're going to be growing over the next 3 to 5 years, which is exciting, how are we going to hit those growth metrics if we're having difficulties finding the people that we need today? And this is definitely something that keeps us up at night, keeps me awake at night, so to speak. Another report, and this was commissioned by Gallup and Strata Education Network. And so essentially what they did is they wanted to kind of get a consumer insight report on how individuals felt about their post-secondary education choices. Think about if you were to go to a restaurant, for example, you would check Yelp and see what the reviews were, so to speak. This is quite similar. They're looking to see what graduates that were going through these programs thought about it. And so they interviewed and they polled 365 individuals per day, almost 90,000 folks. What they found is that over half of the respondents, 51%, regret their post-secondary decision. They would either, if they could go back, they would change one aspect of it. And whether that be the degree level that they obtained, the program area of study, where they went to school, they would change that, go back and make a different selection. Interestingly, though, the folks that were the least satisfied with their career choices or their post-secondary education choices, they received advice on what to study, what to pursue from informal sources such as friends, the guidance counselors, and parents as well. And that was the most utilized resource. So the folks that were least satisfied were getting advice on what to study using those sources, and that was the most utilized resource. On the flip side of that, the individuals that they're most satisfied with their post-secondary education choice, the ones that appreciate it the most, they received the advice on what to study from some sort of a business relationship, whether that be a mentorship, an internship, a summer job, some sort of a work relationship. And that was the least utilized resource. The reason I bring this all up is because whenever we're looking at our workforce today, our resources are limited, right? We don't have that many people in the job market. Unemployment's getting pretty low. And at the same time, we see very good opportunities for businesses and educators and workforce trainers to work together in a way that they haven't before to really address this. We have to think very strategically, in other words, about how we're building our workforce systems, how we work together so that we can grow as a community, our economy can grow. And so the way that we think we're going to do that is with talent pipeline management. So talent pipeline management was conceived back in 2014 by the United States Chamber of Commerce Foundation in response to national uprising of these workforce issues. So this isn't just a Moorhead problem or a state of Kentucky issue. This is a national problem where businesses across the entire nation cannot find the folks that they need. In fact, 49% of job vacancies across the country are going unfilled right now. And over a third of businesses are having to turn down new lines of business because they don't have the ability to staff them. And on top of that, if you look at it, 7.2 million jobs that are unfilled right now, that are open and vacant. So there's a lot of opportunity out there. There's a lot of on there. We think talent pipeline management is going to be that. But what is it, right? So as we mentioned, Kentucky is one of three states across the country that's been selected as talent pipeline management. We've been going on this tour to show how this resource can come and help the communities around. So in a nutshell, talent pipeline management is a resource, a strategy, and a tool that helps and empowers employers to create and manage their own talent pipelines for their most critical jobs. Right, so it borrows from supply chain principles and essentially places the employer as the end user customer, the end user or the customer in the talent supply chain. And this kind of makes sense if we think about it. Employers in the room, you're going to be the ones that are hiring the graduates from the Moorhead, from the community colleges, from the ATCs. Right, they're the ones that are going to need those skills, that skill set, those qualifications. So this makes sense. And the theory here and the way that we've been working on this is that if we can understand what the end user customer, the demand side of this equation needs, what those employers need, how many they need of them, then we can work our way backwards and strategically build a talent pipeline with partnership with our educators, with our workforce providers that specifically meets those demands. So the very first part of talent pipeline management is organizing employer collaboratives. And this is all about employers agreeing to work together to collectively address their workforce issues. And this is kind of different than what we've done traditionally, right? Competitors working together to address workforce issues is kind of out there. But at the same time, understanding where our workforce is at right now, we have to change the way that we do things. Right now, I'd be willing to guess that most employers in the room, if we're hiring, where they're getting their candidates from is going to likely be their competitors already. We're poaching from each other. It's a job seeker's market for the most part, where individuals can leave for another employer for a couple cents on the dollar. What ends up happening and what we're seeing is labor costs are going up, retention's going down, and productivity is decreasing as well. So in order for us to address this type of an issue, all employers have to come together and really agree to work together. And that's what step one's all about. The second part of this process is once employers are agreeing to work together, now let's start tackling what that demand picture looks like. So this is all about employers conducting short-term, real-time demand projections over their most critical needs. So if this collaborative group of healthcare employers, for example, has got together and decided we need to build a talent pipeline for registered nurses, how many registered nurses do we need over the next 2 years? What does that actually look like? And this takes it beyond that anecdotal experience of we need a ton of RNs, and it says over the next 2 years, we're going to need 864 plus or minus. Once we understand what demand looks like, we move beyond that general fuzzy picture, and we have a target that we can start working towards. On top of that, what we can start taking a look at is how many of these types of positions in the industry in this region for healthcare employers are going to be replacement positions, how many of them are going to be growth positions, and it allows us to really start building this talent pipeline based off of what our demand looks like. So this is definitely driving to get a more accurate understanding of what employer needs are on a local level. Once we understand what demand looks like and the employers have agreed to work together, the next part of this is really taking a deep dive into what employers need for those candidates. We know how many we're going to have. What do they need to be successful in their roles? And this is sometimes a step that we often skip just because we have so many hats that we're wearing, right? We take the job description off the shelf, we dust it off, we might add a bullet point or two just because we like to live wild, and then we send it out and we start recruiting our candidates that way. This step forces all the employers in this industry to really think critically about what that position is, what skills, what competencies, and what credentials are vital to those positions. So that again, when we start working with educators, they have a very good understanding of what those training programs need to look like, what needs to be produced, what programs need to be in place. And so what we do is we extract what competencies and skills and credentials and, you know, all that good stuff, and we have the employers rate them on a scale from 1 to 5, and all employers in the collaborative aggregate this data so we can understand what that priority looks like. So now we have a good understanding of how many of these critical job functions, how many of these vacancies are going to be needed, what those folks need to be successful, and we have employers working together to figure out how we can work to fill these positions. And that's the next step, is how do we go about filling this? How do we go about meeting this demand? The next step in this process is the collaborative now is going to analyze their talent flows. This is, where are we currently getting candidates from right now? Are we getting all of our registered nurses from Moorhead? Are we getting them from the local community college? Is there another outside university that's providing a good sources of registered nurses? And the goal here is to understand not where we're getting the most candidates, but where we are getting the best quality candidates from. The ones that, looking back at step three, that meet those needs that we have the most. Where are we already getting those candidates from? And this allows us to really start building a talent pipeline and really visualizing where we're getting. So if, for example, if they're coming from Moorhead State University, Eagles, right? Where are they coming in from high school? Or where are all these candidates coming from? And if we can understand what that starts looking like, we can start visualizing what a talent pipeline looks like, where it needs to be improved upon, and where it needs to be expanded, and what channels there are. So now that we know what our demand looks like, we understand the educators that are in the player, and we understand what their capacity looks like. The next portion of this process is, now that we know that, as employers, we can work with those educators in line of our incentives and figure out how we can make you guys bigger, bigger, faster, and stronger in order to meet that demand. That Bridging the Talent Gap survey that I talked about just earlier, it found that 51% of employer education benefits are left on the table annually. They have them there, but they're just not being used. And so this means that if Moorhead State, or if the Career Services Department, or the local high school system, the public school system, how can we as employers in this industry help you provide candidates to meet this demand? And that can be, you know, financial incentives, that can be technology, that could be work-based learning opportunities, right? If you need internships or if you need externships, how can we as employers meet you in the middle here to really make this situation work? And if we know from the last step that if educators in the room don't have enough graduates coming in, we need to address that too. It's very much about taking a very deep look at what's going on in the community and how we can build this talent pipeline management to fix it. But it's not enough necessarily to do all this work, right? We can't just do all this research, conduct our demand planning, figure out where we're getting candidates from. We have to make sure that it's working. And so the talent pipeline management comes with a tool so that employers can measure the effectiveness of the talent pipeline. We can understand what key performance indicators are necessary. So on a surface level, is this partnership, is this pipeline that we've created, this relationship that we've created, is it on a surface level, is it meeting the demand that we said? If we said we need X amount of candidates, how is it performing? And this is regularly coming back to the table and measuring how effective it is. Are hiring costs going down, or is turnover going down? All these different things. And if we notice that they're not improving or performing the way it is as a group and as a collaborative that we want, what strategic shifts do we need to make in order to move forward and make that effective? This is kind of where it's coming in, where the rubber meets the road. So again, we have 3 pilot projects that are currently working right now. We have a manufacturing in Christian County that's focusing on maintenance technicians and engineers. We have the healthcare collaborative in partnership with Kentucky and Works in Louisville. We recently launched a construction collaborative that's working on commercial electricians in the central part of Kentucky. Over the next 2 years, we will be working with our local WIBs, with our chambers of commerce, with our employers in the communities to support the creation of over 75 talent pipelines for critical jobs in these industries: manufacturing, healthcare, technology, business services, construction, logistics. And we also recently tagged on equine because it's a cultural heritage of Kentucky. It also provides 80,000 jobs for the state of Kentucky. And we'll be building talent pipelines, we'll be building collaboratives and supporting the great work that that you guys are already doing in this community with this tool to create these talent pipelines. And we're not doing this alone. We are partnering with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation, we've partnered with KEEP, and we're also partnering with the Kentucky Education Workforce Development. This is a village, it's gonna take a village, and it's definitely, that's what the approach that we're trying to take on. We also recognize that this is a lot of work, right? Everyone in here is already busy enough, and it's, well, what does this mean? So we're bringing and hiring 5 project managers to help manage the day-to-day aspects of this. As we're forming these collaboratives, organizing these meetings, as we're collecting all this data, that type of stuff, we have folks that will be paid and their full-time job will be to help support these efforts and these initiatives. On top of that, though, on top of the 5 that we're bringing on and hiring, we're also going to be training 20 individuals from the local communities to drive this. We recognize that we don't know everything in Frankfurt, and we don't want to. The success of this type of initiative comes from a grassroots effort, and we want this to be led by local individuals. So we will be training 20 individuals to go through this. We'll fly the U.S. Chamber team down. They will get trained in the system and learn how they can build TPM collaboratives and talent pipelines using this system and the software in their local communities. And that's dual point also of making sure that the talent pipelines that we're creating are actually necessary and critical for your environments. What's going to be necessary in Pikeville is going to be completely different in Paducah and vice versa and all that good stuff. So we want to have that local perspective, that local leader that's going to be helping drive the bus on that. Whenever employers get together and they take an intentional step to understand what it is that they need, and they partner intentionally with educators and say, this is what we need, how can we work together to create it, there's a lot of positive results that come out of that. The data that we're collecting on these local levels, we're going to be feeding to the statewide data system so that as we're spending the $1.5 billion investing in our workforce, that we have a very accurate understanding of what local employers are needing on the individual community levels. So the way that we can go ahead and get invested here, we're going to be going over the next 2 years, we're going to be launching these pilot collaboratives. And the way that we can get involved is we're going to be looking to train individuals, as I mentioned, from this community. We're also going to be reaching out to employers starting in September to figure out what local positions are most critical for this community. And we'll be reaching out to employers in this community to start coming to these meetings and start participating actively working to address these workforce challenges. We'll be reaching out to educators to say, this is what the work that we're doing, and we're going to be reaching out to you shortly to help make these connections. In the end of the day, what we're really trying to do here is drive a productive relationship between education and work or employers where they're speaking the same language. Really, really appreciate your time today coming out here, and I very much look forward to working with you. Have a wonderful day.